of some recorded extracts from the proceedings at the Speech Day Whittingham College in Brighton in 1962. You will hear first the chairman of the afternoon's proceedings, Sir William Dealing, Conservative Member of Parliament for Brighton Pavilion.
Mr. Leader, ladies and gentlemen, and boys of Whittingham College, your headmaster has very kindly asked me to be chairman today, and presumably to take control of the proceedings. I notice in the programme that after me comes the headmaster, who presumably therefore tells you of everything that you have successfully done during the year, and so therefore I know nothing about it and can't say anything about it first. Then comes the guest of honour, who will tell you whatever he likes to tell you, and then come the prizes and all the rest of it. And so you can realise that it's not very easy for the chairman to know exactly what he should talk about. And of course I also don't know why I have been asked to be here as chairman. For instance, perhaps you have been told that I am the Member of Parliament for this district, and therefore you will expect me to talk to you about the common market, about the chances of the Liberal Party, about nuclear weapons, and about a neutralist Britain. But if I were to talk to you on all these subjects, then your headmaster would, in order to be fair, have to insist on having the other side come next year. And if next year might be just before the general election, I think it much wiser that I give you no ideas on these subjects at all. And I keep well away from them, then perhaps you will not have an opponent of mine just before the general election. We've got, as our guest of honour here today, Professor from the New University of Sussex. It means that Sussex and Brighton are very much coming onto the map at the present moment internationally. And Sussex University, I'm sure Professor Gates will agree with me, is not likely to succeed unless it can get good students to come to it. And it will be expecting to get them from colleges like yours.
So the name ended with these words.
And now, one of the ghastly things that happens to anybody who's got to make the principal speech of the day, it is to have to listen to a chairman taking up all the time. But I was told by our headmaster that I was to go on for 15 minutes. I'm just a minute or two short of that. And so I would like to call on him now to make up the extra time.
Mr. Chairman, Professor Datchis, first I want to explain to you, Sir William, why I was very glad and was very anxious that you should come and honour us with your presence and take the chair. Apart from the fact that you are distinguished member of Brighton now, through representing it, one of the most distinguished members, and we in Brighton. I remember meeting you in Israel in 1953. I remember speaking to you some time before about certain questions that might be asked in the House of Commons. How ready you were to ask that question and elucidate certain matters in which we were interested. You're an Irishman. You had some trouble with this country. Some time ago, we had some trouble in Israel with the representatives of this country. You were fighting for the renaissance of your people and for the revival of the Irish language. We fought for the renaissance of the Jewish people and the revival of the ancient Hebrew language, the language of the prophets.
Later, Mr. Hanavy said this.
We are very glad that many of our old boys go to the universities. Most teachers are anxious that their pupils will go to the universities. It's not a matter of kudos, but they believe that that completes, it doesn't complete, but another further stage in the education of the person, and particularly nowadays, but anyhow, at any time, I was very anxious that my children should go to universities, and I did everything possible, and they did go to the universities. I want other parents' children to go to the universities where it is possible and where they reach that standard of preparation to be able to assimilate the knowledge which they can derive from the teachers at the universities. I'm glad to say that in spite of the difficulties of admission to the universities, and there are very great difficulties of admission to the universities throughout the world, about the admission of their boys to the universities. If you read the press or if you watch television a few days ago, the question was discussed. You ought to be prepared that there might be difficulty of admission to the universities. Nevertheless, we are very fortunate indeed. A very high proportion of our boys are admitted to the university. We have quite disproportionate to our numbers at the Imperial College of Science students. And we're very proud. When I returned from Israel only last Wednesday, I went there not on a holiday but a conference. Just as I was there, one of our old boys was appointed full professor. He was a reader at the Weizmann Institute in Science. And it gave a great deal of satisfaction to hear that. We have one of our boys as a professor at Melbourne University, and one of our boys is a professor at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology and Engineering, and he represented the MIT at the Science Conference, which was a great honor, at Rehoboth at the Weizmann Institute. And we are quite satisfied that some of our boys take their studies at the universities with a sense of responsibility. And that is what we're trying to inculcate in the boys whilst they're here. And we may say with a certain amount of satisfaction that in a very large number, very few are the failures. We cannot transform the boy with limited abilities into a genius, but we can, we believe we ought to, and we believe it is a function of the school, to exploit to the maximum the natural abilities of a boy, literally to the maximum, stimulating him the interest in study. He should find that it's an adventure, that it's great fun to study, that accumulation of knowledge is really an adventure, it's a challenge, it's worthwhile. You do it not because you're threatened with punishment, with any sanctions, because it's great fun. It gives a great deal of satisfaction. Indeed, it's one of the greatest satisfactions that a human being can have, namely that satisfaction of understanding, grasping, comprehending things. And education should give that. And we believe that we do so with a sincere hope that the boys going to the universities will continue to have that responsible attitude.
Later, Mr. Levy referred to the qualities which university admissions tutors looked for in candidates for admission.
Then the boy is not expected only to manifest the ability to accumulate knowledge, but the ability to reason, to present himself as a human being who is not necessarily concentrated and confined to the specific subject which he studies or intend to study at the faculty in the university, but he's a human being, that he's interested in human problems, that he's a man of some culture, and he brings to that conflict of the two cultures of which you heard a great deal of prominence was given between the controversy between Dr. Leavis and Sir Charles Snow. But in the case of between the scientific and the humanistic, between the art and science, the two disciplines which we are trying hard to inculcate, it isn't easy in the children to find interest not only in science and mathematics that they do, but also in music and art, in politics, in human subjects, in human relationships, and in culture. But now,
Mr. Levy later spoke about the great contribution made by the academic staff to the life of the school, and he ended with these words.
But last year we had a great, very great loss in the passing of late Mr. Minns, the senior master in French, a scholar. Not only that he was a scholar of Eton and of Trinity Cambridge, but he was continued to study all the time and enriched a great deal of the school with his profound and versatile knowledge. He died comparatively young, and we still mourn his loss.